true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
I have so many things I want to talk about today.
Well, I'm your Huckleberry.
What does that mean?
It's from Tombstone movie. Val Kilmer playing Doc Holliday, the old West guy. And that was his little catchphrase. I think it meant like, well, I'm your man. Bring it on, motherfucker.
Okay. You're my Huckleberry, which sounds very like we're skipping and we have roses in a basket.
Right. I think that's why he did it that way, because it felt more like ironic. Like, well, you need a friend, I'll be your friend. If it's a shooting friend you need, I'll be your shooting friend. If it's a skipping friend you need, I'll be your skipping friend.
It's like he's saying, I got no problem supporting my friend. I'll be your dance shoes.
Exactly. What?
What? Okay, this has been on my... First of all, okay, let's talk about what happened to your body parts. You're not well.
I'm okay. I just got the booster yesterday, and the bivalent booster, which I'm... Well, you know what? There's a more of a lead up. So over the weekend, I got overwhelmed. You know how... I don't know if you remember the previous week, I was talking about how proud I was to not have gotten like wrapped up in other people's shit, even though I was there for them and all that good, healthy behavior.
I like where this is going.
And then Saturday, I lost it. I lost that skill.
I don't mean to laugh at your pain, except
no,
that
it's,
I do.
It's real. Hold on. I got to set my phone to not peep at me. I found myself just like spinning out and being like taking care of things that didn't need taking care of, caretaking people's problems that no one had identified as problems, worrying that these plans needed to be made, even though I didn't want to even have them, you know, all that shit.
Yeah, right.
And then I was reminded that all of that's fine and you don't have to do any of that, mostly by Denise. And I, you know, I actually was happy because I had talked about the previous week how she was having trouble. And then she was like, you're always there for me. And it's unbalanced. I said, you want me to fall apart? And she was like, no, you're right. But then I got to fall apart a little bit.
Yay,
and reach out. And she talked me off the ledge. And then I basically canceled a bunch of things, which was fine. Like, everybody was like, cool, great.
Totally get that.
We're your friends. Why would we not support that? Like, there's no problem here.
Right.
I was just really tired. I was hungover all day because I drank Friday night after doing this show, this Mortified show.
Oh, I got to hear about that.
It was fun. We had a great time. It was nice just to be on stage and act.
Fuck yeah.
All that is to say, I canceled a trip to go see my parents. I was supposed to be up in Shasta for 3 days this last week, and it snowed, and I was just like, I can't. And so I canceled that trip, which felt great. And of course, my parents were like, yeah, cool. See you soon. Everybody's fine, Cass. You are writing a story that everybody needs your help.
Oh, I so relate, though.
Yeah. So that freed me up. That's just a lot of background. I say that freed me up to get the booster, because I literally hadn't gotten the booster because I didn't have 2 days in a row that I could afford to maybe have a reaction, which I have for some and haven't for others. Pretty mild. So yesterday, I got it in the morning. Yesterday, late in the afternoon, I started to feel a little punky, just like, meh, just like that weird, like pre-flu, you know, like,
yep.
Just the hint of, I just don't feel good, but I can't even put a finger on it. And I felt okay. And then as the evening landed, I had the worst gas tummy. I don't know if that was related. Like all night long, I was like, oh God, I just want to fart. That's all. If I could just fart, I'd be okay. And then this morning I woke up, I was like, oh, there it is. There's the reaction. I feel flu-y, lightly, like I have a headache and a little body ache, just joint, but nothing very bad. Like if I had to go do a gig today, I totally could. I am so fucking grateful I don't have to. This is all I have today is recording this. So that's where I'm at.
I feel you. What are the symptoms today? Exactly.
That kind of like a little bit like, this sounds way worse than it is, like ants under your skin feeling, that just sort of like, meh. But ants under your skin sounds like a hellscape. this just feels like lightly buzzing all kind of
okay.
Under, and I just kind of don't want to sit still. My back hurts a little bit. My head hurts a little bit.
I hate everything that's happening.
But frankly, I drank some coffee and I feel way better. So until that crash happens, let's ride that.
Let's ride that shit. Hey, that's my drug of choice. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. As we learned from last week's episode.
As I was like setting up today, I was like, so today before the podcast, I lifted weights in the way that my trainer has me lifting, and I'm proud of myself. And I'm like, boy, I'm even keeled and mellow. That's a better choice for me.
Yeah. I love you.
Thank you. Good.
I mean, I hope that wasn't a hard thing to sit through for other people, us going, nuh-uh. But we always get through those. And I feel like those are also good conversations that get to be had then.
I agree. Because like, really, there's truth on both sides. And, you know, just like when the emotions are high, it's just that's what you're navigating, really, rather than the content per se.
I had a long conversation with a friend who is having partner problems. And, you know, he was like, we broke up. I was like, what? For an hour. I was like, okay, good. Because I was like, I really love this relationship for this friend. Like, best I've ever known him to be in. Like, I like him better because of, way better. Like, I actually like him because of this relationship. Very much so. Anyway, we got to talking and I was just saying, like, the lesson we learn is you stay in the thing, you know, and until you get to the other side of it. And most of the times, if you can be honest and not accusatory, you can get through that.
Yeah. Boy, howdy, are you hitting the nail on the head today. I just had a full therapy session on exactly that.
Talk to me.
Well, I've been seeing a human man.
Uh-huh.
A bipedal male identifying human organism. And...
is he giving you lots of organisms? Oh, wait, that's a different word. Hey!
Pleading the fifth. Anyway, so the thing is, okay, we're going to do this in human design language to make it our podcasty. He's a projector. He's a 5-1 projector, which means he has his field, his aura, does this thing to people in two sort of huge ways, which is that people project on him all kinds of shit. When you're 5-1, the fifth line has this thing in the aura that's like, people make you the savior. And then the millisecond you're not perfectly living up to their idealized standards of you, they knock you out and turn you into the heretic.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So it's known as the heretic universalizer.
Is that the 5-1 or is that just the 5?
The fifth line always has that going on for it. Yeah. So he's got a fifth line personality, which so I'm constantly, it's miraculous the degree to which it's occurring. And because I'm me and I know that this is his design, I just like don't behave the ways my body is telling me to behave. My body's like, he's the devil. Tell him to go away forever. And then I'm like, and pause. We're not going to make any choices today. We're going to get into our own aura. We're going to tap through some deconditioning stuff here. But not only that, he's a projector. And projectors are, they get projected on. That's what they do. And so...
so are projectors more like projection screens?
Yeah.
Than they are actual emitters of light?
Yeah, they're not emitting light. Their aura is a... It exists in something called the projection field. So you walk into their aura and all of a sudden you're like, you're like this. And they're like, I am just standing here. And no, I'm not like that. But thanks very much. And everybody to a certain degree is doing that to everyone all the time, you know, but with them, it's worse. And people don't know they're doing it and don't believe they're doing it. So my experience with him has been, I have had like physical body and emotional deep, like nervous system, physical energies come up of like, the oldest trauma that I have, like very deep old stuff that has me believe things about him. So I've been like bringing it all to therapy and bringing it all to my own work I do and getting huge healing breakthroughs on the emotional and physical level, whew, that are like exhausting, where I have to like lay down for a while to integrate just because they're like full nervous system releases. And like, I'll project something onto him. Like you're like literally today in therapy, we were processing through, you're a disgusting pig and I hate you.
Jesus.
Which is not about him.
Right.
It's what his projection field is bringing up for me. I'm projecting that on him so I can see it so I can heal it. And that's actually the purpose of the projector. They're here to be the guides for the people. So projectors are supposed to guide everybody else. But part of how they do it is they're just standing there and all of a sudden all your stuff is up. But if imagine your life if you don't know that about yourself.
Yeah. You're just walking around ping-ponging between being a savior and being a thing and having everything projected on you and just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a projector, right? I'm a generator, I think.
No, you're a generator. Yeah.
But like I resonate with that story very much.
Of course. Yes. Because again, we're all doing it to each other all the time.
Right.
They just have it worse. And if this is an interesting shitty twist, if the projector doesn't follow their strategy and authority, so the strategy for the projector is wait for the invitation.
Uh-huh.
Meaning people have to literally
Denise.
Recognize their value and then invite them to do stuff.
Yeah.
And if they don't invite you, boy, do you get bad projections projected on you.
Ooh.
People decide all kinds of fucked up shit about you because.
Oh, if you do things without being invited.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you probably do some self bullshit too in response to that.
What do you mean?
Often.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Just, well, when you get projected on and if you believe the projections.
Which oh, of course.
You probably do a lot of the course. Time.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's a mess. And so I'm like slowly helping him see this about himself and he's
that
starting
he's a mess?
To. No.
Slowly helping him see that
no,
he's a mess.
He knows that. He's the first to tell you that. No.
He's real aware.
To understand his projectorness and that why a lot of this shit is happening, this history he has with women. And also, get this. I thought you might be proud of me for this. He's a two.
Yeah. Great.
I'm dating a two.
Are you letting him take care of you ever?
Dude, I am trying. I am
fucking
so...
eight being like, go ahead, take care of me. Yeah, that's fine. No, I love it. Please take oh God, take care of me. Yes, please take care of me.
Dude, like so real is the struggle. So today the fucking therapy session was just sitting into all of that, everything that eight defense strategy is protecting, all that vulnerability of like, they destroyed me when I was an infant. Destroyed. And so there's all these layers of la, la, la. And so we're just sitting with them and peeling them out. Sitting with them and peeling them out. Anyway, it was good. And I feel a lot better now. And I'm just practicing just not like giving him some room and just like not, we are not having any talks. Usually this is what women do in relationship with male projectors. We have to talk.
Right.
Again, you know, and it's like, no, we don't. I have to do some work. And then if there's anything to talk about, I'll get back to you. Because this is not about you, but boy, do I want to make it about you. So it's been a productive thing, but also like, wowza kapowza.
Yeah.
So that's been happening. Now, this brings me perfectly, in a weird way, to the thing I want to talk about today, which is all these burps in my belly. Nope.
Nope.
The concept of the creep or the asshole has come back to me again.
Let's just lay it out. We have a game that we've played for many years. It was introduced to me by my friend Marisa. I don't know if she made it up, but it's basically that everybody is either a creep or an asshole.
Yeah. Like your worst, like, you know, the parts of you that you're not the most proud of, or also like just generally the direction you lean.
Right.
You're going to either be creepy or assholic.
Right. It's the two or the eight, kind of.
Correct.
Twos are kind of creepy. Eights are assholes.
Yes.
Threes are somewhere. Threes could be either, but they're going to be one or the other.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I also feel like for me, it's always been like, I definitely have been a creep who really wishes he was an asshole.
That makes sense.
It's like the desire for everyone to be a seven, like the adventurer. You know?
Right. I see some miserable fucking sevens. Let me tell you what. Yeah,
exactly.
Sometimes people who are that good at having fun have never dealt with a single thing actually going on inside of them.
Yep.
So they're just masters of avoidance, like because everybody approves of and likes their distraction strategy.
Yeah. And then they don't ever have to deal. Anyway, you have been dealing with creep and asshole.
Yeah. Just I've been thinking like, I've been wondering, like, what is it? Okay. If you could meet a person and go like, oh, okay, creep, you can see it on them. Or, oh, I see, asshole. Got it.
Right.
What is it? What are the characteristics of creep? What is it makes you a creep?
I'm going to do the non-obvious, quote, creepy characteristics. I'm going to do the more neutral, just fun, even the good parts of people. caring in a way that is like looking out for other people and really being aware of the impact they're having on people around them, and also kind of, but also self-denigrating and kind of sliding up to a thing and always being like, well, I don't mean to, but.
Right.
So it's the soft, like, and the more negative version of is the like sort of more gross and oily version of that, which is like, well, just, I'm just trying to get something out of you without being direct or obvious about it, because I don't want to hurt your feelings, or I don't want to do anything that would impose on you. But really, I'm totally imposing on you by coming in underneath and around the sides of you and stroking your edges. That's a creep.
Okay, thank you. Because it's like, my experience of it is like, I overly respond to that as if, how do I say, I have an inclination already to think that when people are helping me, there's a lot of projection involved.
Well, as our last week's argument / discussion revealed. Yeah.
Right. It's like, I didn't ask you for that. What are you doing?
Guilty.
Okay. I can't even, it's funny. I'm not even thinking of that. Like, that doesn't, I don't remember that, but I believe you. My point is, to a fault, I have a defense against that where I'm like, don't decide what I need and then start taking care of it. I will push you off a cliff. However, you know, what I know is, and that is a thing nobody likes to have it decided for them that blah, blah, blah is happening and then it has to be fixed. When you're like standing in a corner and there's nothing happening. I'm not talking about our thing. I'm literally, I have other examples in my head. But sometimes a person is just being nice.
Yeah.
And like, what I can't figure out is like, when is it cloying and manipulative and it's all about them? They're claiming it's about you, but it's fucking not. It's about them. And when is it, you know, I'm just defending against receiving kindness. And so I've been doing all my work on it to get hopefully to a place where I just really know the difference, you know, like the less reactive I am to the general baseline of somebody just being nice, then the easier it will be to tell the difference between somebody being nice and somebody being cloyingly manipulative.
Well, and that right there is the inherent problem with the game of creeper asshole, is there are certain people who react to even the concept of that game very violently. They hate it because they can't see the humor in it and see that, like, yeah, of course, I'm actually just talking about people who are kinder and nicer, we're going to call a creep, and people who stand up for themselves and are a little more self-assured, we're going to call an asshole.
Right.
But that's because it's funny and it's silly and it doesn't matter that much. But like, I just named the positive aspects of each of those.
Right.
So, and when we call someone a creep for doing any of those things, then we might be lumping it all into the projected version, the sleazy version, all of that behavior. And that's, how do you tell the difference? So you have to take the game off of it, obviously, because the game oversimplifies.
The game is problematic inherently. Well, I don't know. I think it's just, I mean, in psychology terms, you would simply say these are two different defensive survival strategies that people employ depending on your general orientation to reality.
Yeah.
You're going to either defend against stuff with overly helping so that you look like a good guy and everybody likes you and you never get threatened, or overly defend, like pushing back and doing it on your own and being independent. And then always wondering why you're fucking lonely.
Yeah. I mean, I would say in the context of like, how do I know which it is? I think there's going to be times when you absolutely fucking know. You're just like, ew, get the fuck away, projecting asshole. But if you're this is sort of the creep thing to say, but if you're unsure of, if you're unsure, assume best intentions and walk forward from there and then see where it goes.
Boy, I have a hard time with that.
I know.
So not to 80 of me.
No, you're going to.
I mean, it's so 80 of me.
Yeah, you're not going to.
I assume the worst intentions.
You don't trust first.
No.
You trust later.
Yes.
I trust first and then I'm burned sometimes. But it also allows people in.
I know.
That might not have been in before.
No, I objectively prefer your way. I just can't do it. I mean, it's not entirely true. I'm fully overstating it. Like, I'm actually quite friendly and make friends easily and everything's going fine. But, you know, the moment there's a trigger, it's like, I'm not assuming Kat said this to me the other day, who we had on the podcast a while ago for listeners' purposes. Something about, I was like describing a teaching scenario that was challenging, and she's done a lot of teaching and actually loves teaching. And I was describing a thing on voice memo, and she wrote back, well, you know, obviously, you know, you start with assuming positive intent from all of them. And then.
And you're like, obviously.
I was like, hold on. Back up. Start again.
That's the thing. God, do we learn that so often? That baseline of what we think is the given.
Yeah. Nope. That just came from her, whatever, upbringing. She's also a two.
Right. Of course, I assume best intentions.
Yep. And I was like, why would you fucking do that? That's crazy.
That's dangerous.
People are assholes. They will fuck you in the butt. Anyway. And then, of course, you know, just to make it clear, I'm aware that this is my tendency. So I work with it all the time. And I practice letting people in when I don't necessarily think I should. And I, you know, I'm working with it all the time. But that is my go-to first response.
And then you do get burned. I mean, you had a fucking stalker. You've had like shit. You do get burned. It's you've earned the right to be cautious.
Yeah, I mean, life happens for all of us. So there's...
Life does happen for all of us.
Our defenses are understandable.
Yeah.
I think because the two orientation is so very different from mine, and I'm talking about the two that hasn't had the privilege of having done a ton of work and understanding oneself, you know, it's easy to want to just really throw that away, like push it off a cliff, throw it in the garbage, burn it, set it on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a thing.
Yeah. Why do we hate two? So it's so mean. We're so mean to the two.
It's true.
Like Denise is a two when she figured that out.
Really?
We got worried. Like, yeah.
Huh.
She thinks she is, at least, you know.
Really?
Hasn't done a ton of work on it.
Huh. I don't know her well enough. She does not seem like a two to me.
Interesting.
But Rami always helps me with this. She could be like one of the subtypes of two that make it seem less two-y.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
The self-pres two or the...
Or a social two, maybe even.
A social two or a sexual two, whatever. Yeah. There's a person... Rami and I like to go back. Well, it's been a while, but we used to go back and forth about, is this person a sexual one or a social four? Like something like that. We like could not decide.
Oh, because it's like one, two totally different types. But when you subtype them, they start to look exactly the same in a lot of ways, or they present the same.
There was a lot of like, I'm very different and misunderstood, but there's a very right and wrong way of functioning. And we were both
shit.
Like, ah!
I wonder if that's my buddy Jeff. Were you guys talking about Jeff? Because that
no.
I mean, he's the fouriest four of all fours. But he's also very like, I'm going to rant and rave about the right way to view something.
I often think that that particular thing, this is where I struggle with the one as a type in general. Like I have a really hard time with ones.
Yeah.
Who was particularly ones that have like not done a lot of work because
yeah.
They can be so, I mean, it's so, I feel like every type, any human can get into this is right and that is wrong from trauma. That's what trauma does, is it limits your scope and then there's only one narrow way. And that's just a survival skill that all of us can employ.
Right.
So if you're actually a one and it's not from trauma, oh, that makes my brain melt because I'm so into challenging rules. I think rules are just fallacious. So I'm just like, how do you live on earth believing in rules and their value? I can't. It's so hard to get my head around it. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, unhealthy versions of everybody are impossible to deal with. But yeah, some more so than others.
It's just my thing because it's so antithetical to what to my survival thing.
It's funny because as an eight, like you also believe very strongly that you are right. But outside of the set of rules.
Well, I don't believe actually that I'm right. I believe everybody that we want to challenge anytime anyone says I'm right.
Good point.
I'm a challenger, not a right wronger.
You're right. That's more of a one thing for sure. Carolina, our guest is here. We can bring her in whenever we're ready to go with her.
Great.
Cool. Did we finish what we were talking about? No, we never did.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Fine. We have a whole bunch of listener emails that I think we're going to get to next week.
I'm looking forward to it. We also have to do, we're going to do Desmond's human design chart, period. End of conversation. We have to do it. It has to.
Next time we can actually get him on the show.
Yeah.
Challenging in and of itself.
What's up, everybody? Rami here. I am sick in bed. I have COVID. And so I'm watching a bunch of TV. And I keep seeing this commercial. So my question is, does anyone still think Johnny Depp is cool? This commercial is for Johnny Depp's Dior cologne, which is called Sauvage, which means wild in French. And in this commercial, he's standing on the cracked, parched earth, and he's wearing, you know, leather boots and necklace and tattoos, hair, you know. And he's playing the electric bass. I don't remember exactly where the power source is. Anyway, him playing the electric bass seems to attract wolves. Which maybe they're like, oh yeah, he's playing our wolf song. I don't know. Anyway, the wolves come, and then he maybe tosses the electric bass aside, and then he walks, and then the wolves are walking with him on the cracked, parched earth. So this commercial, yo, it looks like an SNL sketch. It looks like an SNL commercial. It's totally a parody in and of itself. And everything I've heard about him in the last few years is either bad or like jokes, you know, parody stuff. So I'm having a hard time telling if this commercial is trying to, like, if it's in earnest or if it is purposefully so extreme that it is meant to parody itself. And if it's in earnest, well, obviously, some people will take it as earnest because that's how people are. But, you know, like, who's watching this commercial and going like, oh, yeah, let me try that cologne. Rami's rules.
All right. Letting in Carolina.
Carolina.
Are you there, Carolina? Hello, hello.
I'm here.
There you are.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was like, I'm kind of geeking out right now, though, for real.
What do you mean?
Because I've been just like been such a big part of like our conversations at home and like, you know.
I love it.
Just a lot. So it's just a lot of love in my heart for you and Cass and just like being here. So.
Aw, well, we're honored to have you.
Just for background, Carolina is my housemate and also was the very first question we ever answered on the podcast ever was an email that she had written. So that's the background.
Didn't we have you back on? Are you a three-peat?
Yeah, we just did another one of her questions last week, but that inspired us to talk. To have her actually on the podcast. She's never been on.
Oh, you've never been on?
Never been on.
Just through question, like the first question when y'all started in, what's that, 2020?
Uh-huh.
And then like the last few weeks.
I mean, what that is I've been so inside your soul that I feel like we interacted.
We probably do all the time because it's such a like, I know like the first time when you all were starting, Cass was like, I don't know, will anybody ask questions? And I was like, I'll do it. Shoot, let's see. Let's talk about it. So it was just like been such a big part of the journey.
That's cool. Well, I'm stoked to have you back. Okay, if I may, I want to give a little context too for the listener and for you, Carolina, which is that when we were looking at what to do today, we were talking about, we have like a bunch of listener questions we wanted to answer. And like, I wanted to talk about a topic and then da 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 da. And then Cass was like, well, Carolina has a dream thing, something about weird dreams. I am telling you, probably now at this point, 3 or 4 people in the last 48 hours have said to me, I had the craziest fucking dream, and they've laid some shit up. And then I had crazy fucking dreams.
Yeah.
And I don't tend to, I'm not a dreamy. I don't get insights in the dream time. I am now. So there's some shit going on. And so it really piqued my interest. And I'm excited to hear about it because I would like to, in the records, ask, or in consciousness, ask, like, what's up? Is this astrological? Is it a collective movement? Like, what's going on? So the veil's thin. Is it the holidays?
For real. I mean, it's interesting because I've been, since as far as I have memory, I've been a huge dreamer. Like, I've had a lot of dreams. And these are like, there's different levels of dreaming. So obviously we all know, like, hey, there's that moment you watch something or something happen in your day and you're replaying it in your dreams. And then there's like other kinds of weird, surrealistic flying, da 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 da. And so I say this because I feel like there's been these levels where I sometimes have had these really, like, I call it cinematic, like epic dreams that feel like I'm traveling to different places. Like I'm jumping from one place to another where I've seen like wars, and then it'll be like robots are included, but it's like nothing within the frame of like what I experienced that day or that year or.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so it is cool. And then sometimes, like this past year, I just found myself getting really, so that going back to your point of this year, really, really tired. Like I was doing too much while I was asleep. Like I was waking up super tired. Like I already did a work, like I already did a shift at an 8-hour shift somewhere else. And I've come back and now I need to take this day in this form to rest.
I relate to that. You know, psychic people talk about that all the time, is like recovering from dream time. Because a lot of psychics I know work a lot with their clients in the dream time, and or just get so much information, or are bringing light through or doing light work for the planet or whatever in the dream. It's pretty common.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I guess I just hadn't ever, I just thought it was like, okay, I'm just dreaming, but it was intensifying this past year into that point. And also kind of these reoccurring, well, when I was a kid, like I had all these really reoccurring dreams that felt like past life or a different time period or just completely out of the realm. I would even tell my mom, and she had this story that she would tell me that I remember. She was like, well, you know, it's interesting that when she was said, she would describe that when she was pregnant with me, she had a few times where she would wake up with this lady over her and she couldn't tell if she was asleep or awake. But she was like, there was a woman that would stand over checking on you in my belly.
What?
Yeah, she was like, she looked like, she was always described like, she looked like someone that just flew from a different plane, like just like through the stars, like some kind of like.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, some kind of traveler from a different place. And so that's always been like a reality of mine of like, what are these dreams about? What are they telling me? What, there's so many different levels and like dimensions to it as well. And like travel. And sometimes I just don't even know what to make of it. Like,
okay, well, we're going to ask about it for you. We're going to find out what to make of it. Can I have your full legal name? The name that's on your driver's license?
Carolina Concepcion Morones.
Ay, Dios mío, tu nombre tan española.
Morones, amen.
Yeah, exactly. Concepcion, what was the last part? Morales?
Morones.
Morones.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to share, I have a conflict inside myself. So I'm from Miami. I grew up with the Cubans. I learned to speak Spanish with the Cubans. I'm a Jew from Miami who had Cuban friends that felt like family, and I was always in a quinceañera with people. So I can speak it, and I want to say your name to honor correctly how it is said in your language. So I'm saying Carolina.
Yeah.
But I also am aware that I'm a white lady saying that. So that might be annoying or weird.
Not at all annoying, because it sounds good coming out of your mouth.
Okay.
So you're doing it right.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I'm never feeling weird about that, because I say it, my mom was very specific, like, your name is Carolina. It's not Carolina or Carolina.
Yeah.
And so I have, that is my name. Yeah.
Or Catalina, which is what you always get.
Yeah.
Right. When you make an order, they always say Catalina.
The other one that's really weird is Gadalina. People think I'm saying G, and then I'm saying my name is Gadalina.
No, no. Hard pass. Firm no. I say
I
no
can
to
see
that.
Like your Starbucks cup saying Gottalita.
You stretch your imagination to create this name that doesn't even exist. I don't even understand. And I try my best.
It sounds like a space alien name, or like your warrior name, Gatalita. She's coming to get you. All right. Well, let's get into your records and ask some stuff. What do you think?
We're just jumping right in. Yeah.
I just feel it. It's here already. So I want to know. Yeah. I guess we could do the thing where we ask you, what's your relationship with spirituality and what does all that mean to you? Go ahead.
That's a big question. I think there's, I don't even know how to answer that question. I feel like there's a deep connection. I feel like I even remember being born. Like I remember being asked, would I accept coming to this world? Yeah.
Wow.
So I feel like it's one of those things that it's like, did that really happen? You know, but I have that memory of like saying, yes, I accept to be in this family and in this world. And so I feel really connected. I've always felt very connected to spirit in a different way from the rest of my family.
Okay.
And my mom calls me like her Einstein hippie because I'm like always been into like study and like all of that. But then I'm also very different from the rest of my family with like the things I like and do that she would be like, this is my hippie child. She's always going to just be free spirited.
What was their version that you were they sort of religious and you were more spiritual? Was that the distinction or?
Yeah, I grew up in a like traditional Catholic family, although like my grandmother was mainly in the charismatic movement of Catholicism. And so it was very much more influenced by the 60s, actually. And she was very much involved in spiritualism because my mom's brother is schizophrenic, and she searched for ways to helping him many of the ways that immigrant folks can do is going back to traditional spirituality, herbs and that kind of support, especially immigrating from Nicaragua to here in 1964 and then having a child who is going through all this, you know, mental health upheaval and all that stuff and the trauma of that.
Man, that's got to be so hard.
Yeah. So growing up, I'm very much connected to like that Afro-Indigenous tradition in Nicaragua, but that is synchronized with Catholicism. And then also it's different from what most people would know because I grew up in the charismatic movement.
Okay. Can you tell us like, what does that entail? What's the charismatic movement made of? What does that look like? Or yeah.
I would say it's more of like the touchy-feely, hands-on healing, much more of a departure from the traditional Latin traditions. At that time, it would be like a departure of that, more like secular sounding music, more praise and dance and kind of conferences on spirituality and a departure from just the standard going to church with the veil on your head type of approach to Catholicism.
How interesting. So it was like more lively, more spirited, and there was laying on of hands and there was singing and dancing?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much a lot more progressive in thought and in movement as well in terms of that. And then I think there's also a departure with like the folks who are from Latin America and like, you know, Spanish speaking bilingual communities that also bring indigenous practice. And like, that's also influencing, you know, the type of spirituality that exists within that realm as well, which is like a different layer.
That makes total sense. Yeah. I got some really great, I continue to get a lot of great both downloads and just information from being friends with Rami about all this, because Rami will bring the Afro-Haitian world into an Akashic Records reading. And then I get to feel all of what that is and learn the energies of it directly in my body, which is like such a, I don't have anybody else in my life who's going like, can we talk to my Orisha? And I'm like, yeah. Sure, I guess. Let's learn. And so I just, I've been learning a lot about that. It's very, very cool for me, just because anything that's new, anything we can learn, good shit. All right, so Carolina Concepción Morones.
Yes.
Así nos vamos a hablar solamente en español para que
perfecto.
Él no puede entender lo que decimos.
quizás sí.
Sí, sí.
Sometimes I'll say random things to Cass in Spanish, and he'll like, when he's like zoned out enough, he'll respond correctly, and I'm like,
oh shit. No shit.
If I'm like staring into the fridge and she walks in and says something, I'll understand it if I'm not paying attention.
Yeah. It's like when you look into one of those magic eye paintings. If you try to see the picture, you can't. But if right. you're like thinking about cheese and grits, you'll see like the gorilla coming out of the forest.
Right.
For real. I'll speak directly to his Spanish part of his soul, wherever it is.
Somewhere in there.
I love it.
Well, I'd say in those cases, you're probably just placing the thought into my brain pan because my defenses are down and I'm not like thinking
yeah.
like a language person. I'm just
brain pan.
My brain pan.
And we spend enough time with each other to probably brain pan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, let's get in your records. I'm very excited to get in there and see what the hell is going on.
Yay.
In the dream world.
The dream world. So just a nice, simple, easy guided meditation. I'll close my eyes just so I can get in the space a little bit. So we'll close our eyes if you're up for it. And we'll take just a couple of conscious deep breaths into that low belly area. Just kind of letting the belly get chubby and loose, relaxing the belly muscles and inhaling into the pelvic floor, allowing the belly button to come away from the spine as we inhale. Allowing the belly button to come back toward the spine as we exhale. And just doing a couple of those nice low and slow deep breaths into the belly, expanding the belly as we inhale, flattening it as we exhale. And as we deepen our connection to the breath, we'll just feel our feet flat on the ground. And we'll imagine a little spinning foot chakra spinning open at the bottom center of each foot. Like a little tornado that gets wider and wider until it gets so wide that there's nothing left at the bottom of each foot except an open window. And we'll just acknowledge that by opening this window, this connects the aura of your body to the aura of the earth. And we just imagine how big the planet is, and therefore how many hundreds of miles off her edges the aura of the planet must be emanating. But we just see our bodies, our beings, and our auras being enveloped by this big earth aura that is really just nurturance, love, light, and conscious awareness. I mean, as we allow ourselves to be enveloped by that river of light that is her aura, we see 500 tree roots of light anchoring into the earth through each open window at the bottom of each foot. So 500 tree roots of light anchoring down into the earth through the open window of your left foot, and 500 tree roots of light anchoring through the open window of your right foot, hundreds of miles down into the earth, so that 1,000 roots of light shoot themselves down and left and right and in to the planet. And as these roots spread left and right and down and in, we see ourselves above from the feet up as an infinitely wide and tall tree of conscious awareness. The tree trunk of you is so wide and so deep we can't even see its edges. And the tree trunk of you extends so high into the sky that we can barely see the thick and lush branches and leaves at the top, extending up and out and down and around in every direction. And as we understand ourselves, the consciousness of ourselves, to be this enormous receptive psychic antenna that is a conscious tree of awareness, metaphorically speaking, I mean, we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Carolina Concepcion Morones in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Carolina Concepcion Morones through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Carolina Concepcion Morones have for her. and I'll go quiet for just a moment. Okay, and as we deepen into Carolina's records, I'm asking the Lords, Masters, and Teachers of her records to clear, release, uncreate, destroy anything and everything in her field or mine that would stand in the way of my receiving highest and best guidance, direction, insight, clarity on her behalf, both from consciousness itself and from the divine light itself. Amen. Okay, so how would you frame the first question you'd like to ask? I could certainly do it myself, but I'd love to hear it through your lens, Carolina.
I guess I would ask what or how can I best learn about these dreams or understand like my role within that dream world or dreamscape or what I'm supposed to receive or contribute to.
Okay, would it be okay for me to say what is happening for her in these dreams first and foremost? Okay, and then we'll find out about what your role is supposed to be within it. Because I need to understand what's happening too so I can, oh my goodness. Ah. Okay, is she astral traveling? No. In the dreamscape, what is happening for Carolina? Is that the imaginal realm? No. The Malakut, the Javarut, the Lahut. Wow. Okay. I'm going to talk about this in 1 second. Does that have to do with the unity? No. Okay. Okay. That's really interesting. I'm gonna explain this in a second. I'm just gonna understand a few things first. So why is she going to the Lahut in her dream time? What is the value of that? And how is she, how can she best benefit? Like, what is her role there in terms of waking reality? Is she to bring anything back? In a conscious way? Huh. Have there been any blocks for her? I see. Exciting. All right, so a few things all at once. Now that I can see what we're doing here. Didn't expect this at all. Okay, so I'm going to use Sufi language to describe certain realms of consciousness, but understand, of course, these are just Sufi terms. Different systems might describe these layers of consciousness differently, but you could argue that they just exist and they're just called different things through different lenses. That's one argument you can make. Anyway, oh my God, there's a lot of energy here. Okay, first of all, what they want to do, Carolina, is clear inside of your heart everything that keeps you from being able to understand what's happening in the dream time. And bring back into three-dimensional reality what you're supposed to have gleaned from the dream time so that you can serve your own life and other people with the intel and the energies and the awarenesses. Are you open to that?
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God. Oh. So we're calling up into conscious awareness anything and everything in Carolina's heart, body, being, soul, spirit. Across all time, dimension, space, and reality. Past lives, karma, entities, demons, aliens, anything else. Oaths, vows, fealties, commitments, swearings, promises, commitments, bindings, bondings, blood oaths, signs, sworn or committed to, conscious or unconscious. That would keep her from having clarity of understanding when she's in the dream space and keep her from being able to bring the energies and the insights and the awarenesses back into the waking time here in this three-dimensional reality. You have a direct line to the wisdom and the insights and the energies that exist in the Lahut realm. Lahut, so let's talk about what that means. And they're still clearing stuff out of your heart, and now it's in the brain stem and the throat and the brain. Okay, I thought I could talk and do this at the same time, but I can't. This is all of the normal, necessary sort of protective, defensive cynicism or skepticism or resistance that a human being builds to protect themselves from being too, out there across their lives. But you are asking about it. You are ready. Now is the time. And now is the time in the collective for all the light workers to wake up and to become activated. And that is what they've tasked me with doing as a Blu-ray. I'm here to facilitate the freaking awakening of the damn light workers. Oof. And I say it that way with sass because I always think I'm doing other shit. Oof. Here we go. Brainstem melting. This is the processing and the releasing of some of that skepticism, cynicism, resistance. Comes from the family, the dad's side of the lineage. Survivalist. Like, we don't have time for all that, you know, hoo-hoo. We gotta make some money and put food on the table. Oh. This is really interesting, Carolina, because also they're giving me, like, I think people in your family, if anybody is sick or struggling in the older stages of your family members, you doing this right now is going to help them be better, like heal, weirdly. It's going to heal pieces of the lineage.
I get really emotional thinking about my dad's line, but that one has a lot of heaviness.
Okay.
A lot of suffering. Well, they all do, but, you know, in particular where it's stuck. Yeah.
What kind of heaviness and suffering?
A lot of abuse, alcoholism, addiction. My grandmother, for example, was almost kind of sold into slavery at the age of 3 or 4. And so, yeah, she didn't ever really have a childhood or, you know, then she ran off with somebody at the age of 14, but didn't know what that would be. It was like just escaping one reality to another. As a consequence, she had, you know, 14 to 16 kids.
Oh my God.
And was basically married to a tyrant, you know, like another very alcoholic, abusive person. And so it was just very, you know, heavy in my dad, for sure.
Yep.
Those things.
That makes sense. Okay, weird specific request. If you could feel into for me the back of your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And breathe in there. And feel into your belly at the same time. Okay. And then they just showed me the entire, like, galaxy, cosmos, the space, like, just the space of the universe beyond this Earth. It's like you have access to this as well. This is going to activate your star seed alignment. Oh, gosh. It's just going to get weirder from here, but it's going to be less hard or confusing.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Lahut realm of consciousness is, so this realm we call the Mulk, or the density and the duality. And then past that, we call it the Malakut, which is the realm of the angels, And then past that is the Jabberoot, which is the realm of the soul. It's also the place where a lot of psychic people pull information from. They're pulling from the Jabberoot. And then there's the Lahut, which is like, it's the space before the unity. And the unity is where there's nothing, there's no duality left. There's only oneness. And it feels like, if you can imagine that your entire being is just all love. Every cell of you is no longer a thing. Like, it's not like you have a body and then there's the space around you. You are the space around you, but you and the space around you are just love, pure love. And you're aware, you're still aware that you are a consciousness with your sort of awareness, but your experience of reality, if you were to be in that realm, would be of complete and total disillusionment of your separateness. You would just become oneness or love. So the Lahut, how would you have me describe that? Is an incredibly bright band of light. It's a realm. It's a very particular, specific, unique realm. It's the realm past the soul, but before total annihilation into, oneness. And so what's the value for her of pulling information from that space? Okay, this is the realm of the Bodhisattva, where the Buddhists who would gain enlightenment, they would awaken fully to the reality of the Lahut. And then from that space, they would come back into form and live here in an embodied way, being the energy of mercy, compassion, inclusion, equality. It's like almost oneness, but not entirely oneness. And the reason to not pull necessarily from the oneness realm for everybody, because everybody's on a different trip, right? So some of us are pulling from the oneness realm. Great. Some of us are pulling from the Lahut, apparently. The reason to pull from that realm is so that the teachings and the insights and the energies you get there, you can bring them back in a way that is more relatable to individual humans. So for example, when you're traveling, when your soul is seated in the Lahut realm of consciousness in the dream space, you are learning, you could say, about or merging into the consciousness of principles like truth, beauty, mercy, compassion, action, authenticity, etc. This is the realm where principles, it's the realm before the Jabberoot, where the principles of the Lahut become, how do we say, merged with the individuated soul on the Jabberoot level. But this is one level out from that. So this is just almost, you could think of it like a very bright, shiny realm of principles, energies that the people need badly here in this realm. So you are a transmitter of divine light in this particular way. It is divine light that is specifically wisdom oriented. It is specifically teaching the frequencies of spiritual principles like justice, truth, mercy, love, compassion, action, etc. That was a mouthful. Any questions?
No, that feels like I'm kind of like shaking, like through my spinal cord, like someone rung a bell, and like a convulsion of energy. Like, so I'm just like sitting in that and taking in what you're saying. I don't know if I have a question.
That's cool.
I guess the going back to the role of continuously learning, I feel like it makes sense that I've been like reading on sacred contracts right now, and like really the principle part, it feels very connected to the things I've been attracted to do and work on, like the cooperative part of how do we move past what we are in right now in terms of the suffering that we're from capitalism into a more different kind of route. Like I'm really like, I wake up with those thoughts. So it just makes sense what you're saying in regards to the bigger principles and concepts. Yeah, like I pulled archetypes from, I've been working on archetypes for many years and I've finally landed on a structure, but one of them, I merged two archetypes together and I call it the mystic guide. And it feels like that's connected to that, like that rung true to that aspect of what that means for me right now.
Alhamdulillah. Yep, that's real. Have you ever looked at your human design?
I have.
Do you happen to remember your profile? The 5-1, the 6-2, the two numbers?
I could probably pull it up. I don't remember exactly.
If you're able to pull it up, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I could pull it up. Give me a second. I have a quick way to get into that. Probably, Cass, you're probably tired of me talking about all the principles of existence.
I don't know about tired. We do talk about it a lot. That's all.
That's true. All right. So you need to know, I have it open. And what do you need to know?
It's called the profile. It's made of two numbers with a slash between them. I'm actually just going to pull this up myself. Do you have your birth time to the minute?
8:24 a.m.
Awesome. All right. I have what I need. Okay. Oh my God. You're 6'3". Okay.
Ooh, wow. Another six. That's the outsider, as it were.
Mm-hmm. I'll explain. Yeah. I didn't know. I've never looked at, I've studied the 6-3, but I've never met someone with it in their chart. So I'm just looking at your chart and integrating some info real fast in my system here. Okay, let me read you first your left angle cross. And then I'm going to tell you, this is called your incarnation cross. I'm going to tell you the relevance of this and what this has to do with the dreams and everything I'm getting. The incarnation cross in a person's design speaks to, like, what is your day-to-day filled with? What are you busy doing? What does your life look like? Another way to say it is like, if your profile, those two numbers, the 6-3, that's your profile. If your profile speaks to the role you're here to play in the theater of life, which is what it speaks to, the incarnation cross is, what is the flavor of expression on a daily level of that role? Your design has a very powerful transformational energy to get things done. Your cross is tied to the cycles that all life experiences. You understand that everything is born and then dies and then is born again. You have an innate sense about the cyclical process. Things are always changing, becoming better and better through the cyclical process of maturation. Your energy is part of this process. So it's most likely your education and career will cycle too. It's not likely you will stay in the same job for 25 years unless that job can evolve and change with time. You're here to be a master of the maturation process. Does that resonate for you at all?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Now I need to talk to you about this 6-3. I'm just looking at the chart now. There's a lot to tell you, but okay. Let me show this to you and then I'll explain for everybody listening and for you. I'm going to share my, can you make me host or let me share screencast?
Yes. There you go.
Thanks. Okay, can you guys see this?
Yeah.
All right. So the 6-3 profile, the profile in a chart the left number, the number on the left side of the slash speaks to the flavor, you could say, of your personality and your conscious mind. So what kind of personality does Carolina have? You have a 6-line personality, which I'll talk about in a second. Then the line on the right of the slash is what kind of body or unconscious mind do you have? You have a 3-line body or unconscious mind. So your personality and your consciousness are going through a very 6-line experience. in this body, in this incarnation. Meanwhile, your body and your unconscious self are going through a very third line experience. So I'm going to talk about the third line first, because I think this is really relevant somehow to all the things. The third line is known as the line of trial and error, failings, failures, mistakes, injuries, falling down, and learning from trial and error that the outside world tends to judge and try to help you to avoid. But the third line body is really here to do trial and error, to fail at some shit and to not understand and to bump up against things. Because then what it learns over time is what doesn't work. And you as a third line body will become, if you remain conscious and do all your deconditioning work and blah, 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 a master of what doesn't work. Now, what's interesting about your profile is that because you have that, I'm bumping into shit, I'm going through things, I'm making mistakes, I'm discovering. I have my own discovery process through living and changing and maturing and dying and starting again all the time. The third line is trying something else and starting again, trying something else and starting again. With that body, that unconscious body that's doing that, whether you like it or not, you can't stop it, it's what it's doing. You have a sixth line personality, and the sixth line is the role model. So the sixth line around age 28, somewhere between 28 and 32, gets pulled out of life. And this is what Cass was talking about, and lives almost like off the matrix of life on what's called on the roof of consciousness. So if you imagine that all of life is happening right here, this ball, this sphere I'm doing with my hands is made up of lines 1 through 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the people, they're doing life down here. A sixth line, though, is living up here on the roof outside of the matrix of life, looking back on it. Now, why do you go up there? Because a sixth line has a tripartite life. First part of life, challenges, difficulties, trauma. Second part of life, processing, healing, integrating that trauma. Third part of life, at age 50, you get pulled off the roof, back into the matrix. And you're meant to come back as the sort of perfected role model of all the wisdom you've gained. So you're interesting because you're both off the roof, outside the matrix of reality, watching it, learning from it from up here, studying it almost. But your body is very much in the matrix and it is bumping up against shit and meeting the right people by running into them in the street and making choices and mistakes and failing and learning and growing and succeeding. And becoming a master of discovery through trial and error of what doesn't work. So when you put those two together, somebody with this design at age 50 is going to come off the roof very wise to what doesn't work and what does work. Now, another thing about the sixth line personality, this is a personality type that is very, it can be aloof. It can be removed. It can be kind of detached. It's very interested in authenticity and integrity and being who it is. It becomes a role model of what it looks like to be entirely true to yourself. People look up to the sixth line as a role model, as it were, because not because the sixth line is out there going, look at me teaching you and knowing things. People look at the sixth line as a role model because the sixth line gives no fucks about being like other people. The sixth line is like, deal with me. This is what this is. You want it? I'm here. Cool. If you don't want it, I'm still here. Cool. I don't care.
Yeah, definitely something I aspire towards.
Yeah, but how old are you?
38.
Yeah, so you're in the middle section and you're processing your stuff and you're heading towards that thing I just described around age 50, and then you'll have the rest of your life to become it as well. But it, the sixth line, that is what this, your personality is. So
yeah,
probably already other people are looking to you that way and thinking, huh, how does she just be who she is? How does she make all those weird choices that make no sense to anyone else?
For sure.
Yeah. And your answer is because I'm being true to my, because I have to. What do you mean?
Yeah.
This is me. I'm just doing me, you know?
But it can be a really weird and tricky dichotomy to carry the six and the three at the same time, because again, you've got this kind of wisdom, teacher, aloof, removed, don't care about other people's point of view, doing its own thing, six line personality with a body that's like bumping up against everything in reality, trying this on, throwing that away, trying and failing and learning what doesn't work. So there's a tension there, if that makes any sense.
It does. I often have the feeling of wanting to go, and then I have the other thing of like, but why? So that idea of like making choices, trying new things, and then like also that tension. I feel that tension.
Okay. Cool. We could talk about a bunch more of this, but we won't right now. That was just what they wanted to get into for whatever reason about that. So any other questions about the dream or the dream world? What else you might be wondering about?
No, I think with that information, it sounds like going down there is part of this kind of integration, learning process, and maybe the clarity around how that will become useful to maybe me being a light worker or whatnot would become clearer.
Through what? Through dreaming?
Maybe not through dreaming, but through the modes that I'm asked to bring that forward in. I guess that's where I'm having questions. I'm not sure.
Go ahead and ask that as a question, if you don't mind.
What forms do I need to, in terms of spiritual practice, help manifest this knowledge or that travel into practice?
Like, how do you bring the information and the awareness from there to here?
Yeah, or like, what am I being called to, how to approach that so that I could be of service, help, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Light so, to the world.
So yeah. They're like, no, none of that. You don't have to think of it that way. Think of it this way. Let me see how they give this. You go to sleep. Your consciousness expands into the realm of the Lahut. It receives these downloads, this wisdom, this insight, this intel. You, now that we cleared what we just cleared, you had that buzzing in your spine and the arms and so forth, that was your body releasing everything that was in the way of you being able to absorb into your cells and your soul and your light body everything from the Lahut realm. So for now, all you need to do is sleep. And when you sleep, you're going there, whether you like it or not. And then you come back and now you have that stuff. There was a block before to you having, or you could say receiving what you were getting in that space.
Uh-huh.
There is no block to that now. So when you come back to the waking world, you will have insights, downloads, awarenesses, guidance about like what to study, where to go, what career path, what to do, creative impulses. Trust the body machine, trust your mechanics, trust yourself that in this other realm, you're getting the downloads you need. There's nothing to do about it. What you could do is write down, you're a bit of a writer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Write down what you get. So when you wake up in the morning, any wackadoo insights, awarenesses, dreams, write them down. And then as you go through the course of your day, if you have a notebook with you or a phone or something that you could write into, that would be good too, because you're going to start to get real downloads a lot. Oh, it could look like this. And what if it's that? And the world could be like this. And we could have teepees and they go over here and I would make a play and you would build a fire. Like, you're going to start to see things even more than you already have because of what we just cleared. So all you have to do is listen, be aware, notice what you notice, write it down.
Right. Got it. Thank you. I needed that. Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
My pleasure. Yes, absolutely. Woo. Let me see if there's anything else. No. Do you guys hear people talking in the background?
I think it's where I'm at.
There's
sound coming through the wall.
I was just like, am I?
I thought it was you, Katie, but and now I understand. It's your neighbor. It's your wall neighbor.
My wall neighbor. They have music playing and stuff, so yeah.
All right. Do you have any other questions? If not, I'll just close the records here.
No, I think I feel good with what has just, yeah, all the questions.
Katie, I had a question before you got out, in case you wanted to. If we wanted to just tack on a little bit, I'm totally fine. If we don't, just because I have this artificial juice running through my body right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting louder over there. I'm wondering if there would be any value to just looking at it while we're in the records. If you wanted to open up my records and be like, what does this man-made juice look like running through your system? More of a curiosity. I don't have anything that I need.
What does it look like?
Yeah, just like, what's the experience of it on the record level?
You know, they give me a no, but like, okay. I don't know why. And that's her records. No, that's consciousness. Oh, they're protecting me.
Oh, great.
Because I hate the energy of those boosters.
Yeah, fully. I respect that deeply.
And they're like, please don't do that to yourself.
Just for curiosity's sake, it's not worth, juice ain't worth the squeeze on that one.
I think maybe not.
I was like, what man juice is going through you right now?
Different kind of man juice, man-made juice. Well, also.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not talking not mayonnaise, manonaise, man-mayonnaise. Never mind, gross.
I would, yeah. Well, with the amount of mayonnaise you eat, though, I wouldn't be far from the truth.
Okay, see, now we're getting into roommate, housemate truths and shared knowledges that...
You eat mayonnaise a lot?
I eat a lot of mayonnaise.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I even eat more mayonnaise because of it.
Because living with me. I used to have mayonnaise shame, but I got over it mostly.
I love mayonnaise. I just don't eat that. I mean, I don't think anyone would ever be like, boy, howdy, a lot of mayonnaise goes into your mouth.
Now it's getting dirty again.
All right, I'm going to close the records here. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. I want to thank the lords of the records for their point of view and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return all of Carolina Concepcion Morones' energy to herself now, please. I ask that you return her to her complete human wholeness now, please. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Carolina Concepcion Morones is... are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Carolina Concepcion Morones are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Carolina Concepcion Morones are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Sharwan Layla Hailullah, Sharwan Muhammad Abduhur Rasulullah. Amen. Well, that was a freaking cool trip.
I know. I was like, oh my God. I was like spinning through my spine. I was like, when will this stop? I don't know. Yeah. Have you ever done tremor work?
Tremor work?
Yeah, tremor, you know, like, it's not Fitzmaurice, but like, well, some people do it through Chinese medicine too. It's when you learn how to release, like you like allow different parts of the body to do tremor, to tremor.
Well, the reason I said that, like a question is that all trauma that leaves the body shakes as it leaves. So in a way, everything I do is tremor work because everything shakes on the way out.
But you're saying there's some specific practices that physically sort of work with that.
Activate that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that makes sense because that's what I was feeling. And I had, I have cranial sacral therapy that I go through. And one thing that we worked on last month was working on like some tremoring through the spine. So I was just feeling that specific energy and like that kind of thing happening. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be standing here just shaking like this.
Yeah.
Feeling it physically. Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's a lot. This is what I do all day. You wouldn't believe the crazy physical shit that happens for people. I have a client who throws up every time we work.
Oh wow.
Clearing her trauma and her body just releases by throwing up. I have a client who burps through the entire session. Big, loud, long, hilarious burps. Everybody cries, everybody shakes, everybody has heat and fire and spikes and fog, all kinds of shit. The body keeps the score. And as we're releasing through the system, the body has to let it go somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that.
Well, listen, thank you for being here. This was really cool.
Thank you. Thank you for going there and for having me, both of you. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And I feel very blessed.
Me too. Cool.
Yeah. I was just here to watch. It was awesome.
That's what you like doing, isn't it? You like to watch.
Creep, because I'm a creep and not an asshole.
All right, Catalina, have a good one. Feel free to sign off. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Bye. That was cool.
Wow, that was rad. Super, super rad. I haven't been taken into the cosmos in a while. That was really cool. And I've never had anybody's soul be like, I go to the Lahoot realm and bring spiritual principles back. Never seen that before.
That's cool.
A lot of specific cool shit. Also, she has, I'm going to say this, this is going to sound cocky as fuck. I just happen to know a couple things about this particular thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot I don't know about. Listen, if you want me to build a house, I can't do it. You want me to do your taxes? Nightmare. But this thing, I'm confident. She has no idea how big that healing was. Like, her whole life is going to change. Watch, the shit you're talking about in the kitchen is going to get weirder.
Oh my God.
She's going to know some shit and see some shit and download some shit. And she's not going to, she's going to be, I mean, that was a huge opening.
I mean, we didn't get into the specifics of some of those dreams that they're shamanic in their shamanic journey in their specificity, you know, meeting her grandmother by a river while a jaguar is eating a deer and the grandmother removes the heart of the deer, or, you know, shit like that.
My God.
Like,
Jesus Christ. Well, now it's going to be like that all happens in the dreams, and whatever deep, profound energies and teachings were there, she's going to wake up with that.
And then she'll actually know what the fuck that grandmother holding the heart meant.
Yes. And then as her day unfolds, she'll literally see reflected in 3D reality. Oh, there's the grandma, there's the deer, there's the heart. The metaphors in the dream will show up in her waking life.
Cool.
It's going to be rad. I want to follow up on this one.
Cool. I love it. I hope it does. That's great.
Mock my words.
And I do feel a little better just being there for it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I totally understand why you didn't want to look at the weird crystals in my blood.
I was open. They just were like, no.
Honey, you don't need that right now. Especially just for like random curiosity. There was no healing to be done. This one will work through no problem on its own.
Yeah. I'm sorry you're having it though. It's a sucky feeling.
It's all right. It's actually pretty mellow. I'm really grateful that I do feel protected by it. And I'm aware that this is sort of the price of admission on this one. And I'm grateful that this is as bad as it gets for me. Like, that I don't have the response your body has. Like, that's awful. That fucking sucks. And I'm also grateful that they literally moved a thing off of today. The one work I was supposed to do today got moved without my having, beyond my volition. And I was like, great. I literally have the day off. I have the luxury and privilege of being able to just heal and rest. So.
Awesome. Okay, babe. I gotta run. Babe, you're the best.
I love you.
I love you.
Do your work that you're already doing.
Work. Do your work. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
What are you doing, Willem?
Looking for the hidden picture.
If you stare at these things long enough, you're supposed to see some kind of hidden three-dimensional picture.
Oh, yeah, look, it's a sailboat.
You saw it too? Damn it!
What?
I've been staring at this thing for a week now, from opening till closing, and I can't see a goddamn thing!
You gotta relax your eyes.
Everyone sees this thing except me. But today's my day. I brought a lunch and a soda, and I'm not gonna leave until I see the sailboat everyone keeps talking about.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese. For We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
I'm your Huckleberry.